Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q4 2015 JinkoSolar Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, the 1st of March, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Sebastian Liu. Please go ahead, Mr. Liu.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter 2015 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Gener Miao, VP Global Sales and Marketing. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and the company's highlights, followed by Mr. Gener Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filing with Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. Please be noted that to supplement its consolidated financial results presented in accordance with the United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles or GAAP, JinkoSolar uses certain non-GAAP financial numbers. The company believes that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate JinkoSolar's current and future performances based on the more meaningful comparison of net income and diluted net income per ADS when comparing its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended to represent or substitute numbers as measured under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP voluntary and should be reviewed together with GAAP results. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments in English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢周星，各位早上、晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
我很高兴地宣布，今年以车货量和收入均创新高的良好业绩收官，全年收入达到$1.1亿，环比增长了12%。全球需求，特别是在主要的太阳能市场，依旧保持了高速增长。
I am pleased to report a strong finish to the year with a record high module shipment and revenue. Global demand remains strong, especially in key solar markets, which give us good visibility for the entire year and leave us very confident about our future prospects.
本季度总组件出货量达到历史新高的1,700亿制造瓦，1,700亿瓦，1,770兆瓦。2015年组件出货总量达到4.5亿瓦，实现同比增长105.3%。第四季度营收达到9.37亿美元，实现同比增长101.4%，全年营收达到25亿美元，实现同比增长61%，全年实现非美国会计准则净利润$1.77亿。
Total module shipment during the quarter reached the record high of a solid 710 megawatts, which translates into module shipment for the entire year of 4.5 gigawatts, a 53.3% increase over 2014. Revenue during the fourth quarter reached $937.7 million, representing an increase of 104.4% over the same period last year, which translates into revenue for the entire year of $2.5 billion, an increase of 61% over last year. Non-GAAP net income for the year reached $177 million.
公司第四季度发电总量 1.544亿吨，环比下跌 34%， 发电收入 1.363亿人民币。 本季度新增电网 161兆瓦， 累计电网总量达到 1007兆瓦。 除去季节因素的影响， 影响发电量的主要原因在于西部地区限电， 尤其是新疆和甘肃地区， 同时东部地区今年的强降雨也在一定程度上 也影响了系统发电量。 由于一些不可控因素的影响， 例如补贴目录的延迟， 以及中国东部地区土地租赁和电网程序、总厂等原因，公司没有达到今年项目电网目标，但我们相信，公司充足的资产和丰富的开发经验将和我们在2016年快速弥补电网空缺。公司在下游电站业务方面拥有独特的战略眼光和竞争优势，我们更关注长期可持续发展，而不是专注于短期利益。
During the fourth quarter, electricity output was 154.4 GWh, down 34% sequentially. Electricity revenue generates 136.3 million RMB. We connect 161 megawatts of project to the grid during the quarter, which brings our total capacity of connected project of 1,007 megawatts. Excluding the factor of seasonality, power output was impacted by curtailment in China's western regions, mainly in Xinjiang and Gansu, and stronger than usual rainfall in eastern regions, which reduced power output to some extent. And due to some events beyond our control, such as delays in subsidy catalog and red tape in the land rental and the grid connection process in China's eastern provinces, we fell short of our connection target of the year. We are confident, however, that we have assets and development experience in place to rapidly make up for the shortfall in 2016. We have a unique strategy and view in place that leverage the competitive advantage of our downstream business, and we are focused on long-term sustainability rather than speculating in the short term. We are now accelerating the spin-off process in order to maximize shareholders' value.
过去半年，人民币的持续贬值引发了国际市场的巨大担忧。 我们通过增加对冲比例来降低汇率波动对公司业绩的影响，同时我们也制定了详细的方案对付公司2016年到期的可转债。关于这点，Charlie会在后面详细介绍。市场上关于中国经济硬着陆的可能性，以及中国银行系统和地方政府债务问题的讨论已经足够多了，但我们一直对中国长期稳定发展保持乐观态度。目前就业率仍保持稳定。 经济增速虽略有放缓，但仍旧保持增长势头。同时，央行依然有货币政策工具的使用空间。中国正在经历新五年计划的首年，结构化改革和供给侧改革的政策正在深入。对此，我们应该更加充满信心，而不是恐慌。
The depreciation of RMB over the past half year has caused considerable turmoil in global markets. We have also been increasing our hedge ratio to ensure its impact on us is limited. We have also put in place detailed plans to redeem or pay back our convertible bond during 2016, which Charlie will go through later. We have all been hearing a lot about the possibility of a hard landing of Chinese economy, big problems in China banking system and local financial system. Despite these concerns, we remain positive about China's long-term developments. Employment remains stable. The economy, although gears down a little, continue to grow, and the PBOC still have monetary policy tools at its disposal to use. We shall be more confident rather than panic. With China only gone through the first year of its new five-year plan, with deeper structural reform of supply-side policies expected.
尽管原油价格大幅下挫，全球经济波动加剧，全球太阳能需求仍然保持稳定增长，在中国市场。 我们依然保持市场领先地位，同时付款条件得到很大改善。我们已看到六月补贴削减之前，因为抢装所带来的大量订单，这使一二季度销量同比激增，同时全年的需求将更加均衡。而我们高质量的产品已出现供货短缺的情况，在美国市场，我们以相对较高的ASP 签订了不少大型订单。 这有利于我们在创造高利润的同时持续扩大市场份额。随着 RTC 的延期，美国市场最大的不确定因素被排除，这令美国市场到2018年都有很强的可见性和稳定性。强劲的需求对于保持全球 ASP 平稳有着积极的影响。我们预期2016年第一季度全球主要市场的 ASP 将继续保持稳定。在产能扩张方面，我们一贯保持谨慎，但为了满足公司未来市场需求的最低标准，我们决定将在2016年扩张产能至硅片 3.5G 瓦、电子片 3.5G 瓦以及组件 6.3G 瓦。
Despite steep drop in the price of crude oil and other economic volatilities, global demand for solar is growing steadily. We remain the market leader in China, where payment terms have improved significantly, and a large number of rush orders have been coming in before the Fed cut due at the end of June. This will make the first and second quarter stronger than usual and whole year demand more balanced, especially for our high-end products which are already in short supply. In the U.S., we already signed the big orders with good ASPs in 2016, which will help us further expand market share and generate large profits. With the extension of ITC, the biggest market uncertainty has been removed in the U.S. market, which provided us with good visibility on the market stability well into 2018. Strong demand also has a positive impact in keeping ASPs stable globally. In particular, ASP in major markets are expected to further stabilize during the first quarter of 2016. We have always remained cautious when it comes to the capacity expansion and have decided to expand production capacity to 3.5 gigawatts for wafer, 3.5 gigawatts for cell, and 6.3 gigawatts for module in 2016. This expansion should only allow us to meet the minimum expectation for the market demand in the future.
技术方面，我们在持续优化成本结构的同时，不断努力攻克技术壁垒，实现突破。我们很荣幸成为首家通过中国质量认证中心一级能效光伏领跑者测试的光伏企业。晶科能源一贯遵循业内最高标准的质量控制体系，提供给客户高效可靠的光伏产品。
On the technology front, we continue to optimize our cost structure. We are constantly workingto overcome technological barriers in order to create real breakthrough in the manufacturing. We were honored to become the first solar module manufacturer in China to receive Top Runner Program Level 1 certification from the China Quality Certification Center. Jinko Solar's insistency on maintaining the highest quality control standard in industry allow us to provide our customer with reliable and high-efficiency PV products.
总体来讲，公司本年度实现了坚实的年度收官，得益于公司高效的运营和全球客户对公司品牌和产品的信赖。公司出货量和收入均达到了历史新高。我对公司未来的发展以及持续为股东创造长期回报充满信心。
In conclusion, we finish off the year on a very strong footing with record shipment and revenues.That demonstrate the efficiency of our operations and value that our customers all over the world place on our brand and products. I'm confident that our growth prospects will further expand as we continue to deliver long-term value to our shareholders.
最后我来介绍2016年一季度和全年业绩指导。2016年第一季度公司组件出货量预计在 1.3G 瓦到 1.4G 瓦之间。其中包括向第三方组件出货 1.2G 瓦到 1.3G 瓦。2016年全年预计太阳能组件总出货量在 6G 瓦到 6.5G 瓦之间，其中包括向第三方组件出货 5.4G 瓦到 5.7G 瓦。公司预计在2016年新增并网项目600兆瓦到800兆瓦。
Finally, I'll go over the guidance of the first quarter and the full year 2016.In the first quarter of 2016, the company estimates total solar module shipment to be in the range of 1.3 to 1.4 gigawatts, which includes 1.2 to 1.3 gigawatt module shipment to third parties. For the full year 2016, the company expects total solar module shipment to be in the range of 6 to 6.5 gigawatts, which includes 5.4 to 5.7 gigawatt shipment to the third party.The company expects to connect solar power project with a new capacity of 600 to 800 megawatts in 2016.
现在我将话题交给公司新任命的全球营销副总裁苗根先生。钱老在过去5年多时间里一直为金科能源工作，此前担任董事长的首席助理，他对公司的业务和运营有丰富经验，我相信他会在新的工作岗位上为公司创造价值。苗先生，请开始。
With that, I would now like to have the call over our recently appointed Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing, Mr. Chen Miao. Chen has been with Jinko Solar for more than 5 years, previously serving as the Chief of Staff to our Chairman. His experience in our business and operations, and I'm confident that he will benefit the company greatly in his new role. Chen, please.
Thank you for the warm introduction, Mr. Chen. I'm pleased to report another great quarter of sales results, which allowed us to finish the year on a strong note. We also have good visibility on the first half of the year, leaving us very confident that 2016 will be another strong year. We shipped 1,617 megawatts to third parties during the quarter and further diversified our geographical distribution as we increased our market share in many key markets. Taking a closer look, we shipped about 37% to China, 24% to North America, 14% to Asia Pacific, 13% to Europe, and 12% to emerging markets. Looking at the full year, we shipped a total of 4.5 gigawatts to 836 customers in 64 countries, including 604 megawatts to our own projects. Total module shipment represents a 53.3% increase from 2014. This includes around 500 megawatts each for Europe, emerging markets, and the Asia Pacific region, as well as over 1 gigawatt to North America and 1.5 gigawatts to China. I will now go into a bit more detail for each of these important markets and provide you with some insight into our strategy and outlook going forward. With good customer reputation and high ASP, the U.S. market remains one of our most important priorities. With ITC extended, one of the biggest market uncertainties has been removed, though we will continue to keep an eye on the tariff issues as things move forward. While ITC extension factored out some rush orders, 2016 U.S. market will still be quite strong, and those orders will move to 2017. Making 2017 more predictable and the market growth more steady. We already have about 1.5 gigawatts in orders earmarked for the U.S. market in 2016, therefore we expect to reach record high shipments there. And we also plan to increase our market share in rooftop markets for both commercial and residential segments where our partners such as Weibo. China retained its position as our largest market in 2015, while ASPs here remain stable. Payment terms have improved significantly. Rush orders have been coming in before the feeding tariff cut by the end of June 2016. So traditionally, slow Q1 and Q2 are expected to be quite strong as our higher-end products already in short supply. Given this trend, we expect that China's growth to become more balanced this year as it embarks the first year of the new national five-year plan. While European market is slowing, we maintain a strong presence in key countries. Demand from major European markets remains, such as the UK, Germany, and France. As rooftop increasingly taking a larger share of the market over ground-mounted projects, we are focused on increasing our market share in non-EU regions, such as Turkey, where we are number one in terms of the shipment. I would also like to emphasize that facing a slowing down market, our European customers are very active in developing new markets, especially emerging markets, such as Latin America and the Middle East. Thanks to their loyalty to Jinko Solar brand, we have great opportunity to work hand in hand with them again to test those markets and make success. The Asia Pacific region is a mix of both rapid growth and flat. Demand from previously red hot Japan has begun to cool off a little, but it's being offset by other markets in the region that are growing rapidly, such as India. We have already begun redistributing resources to these markets to meet the strong demand we expect. our continuous efforts on increasing JinkoSolar's brand recognition in emerging markets, especially in Latin America, have begun to take effect. We have taken the leading position in almost a 20% share of the market in Latin America. This is particularly pronounced in major markets such as Chile, Mexico, and Brazil. We also maintain our market-leading position in South Africa and are very active across the Middle East countries such as Kuwait, Jordan, Egypt, and the UAE. ASPs have remained stable globally as a result of strong demand despite pronounced currency fluctuations. Our ASP during the quarter was 56 US cents per watt, the same as the last quarter. ASPs in major markets are supposed to further stabilize during the first quarter of 2016. Moving to marketing and branding, we participated in a number of events, exhibitions, and conferences. In October, Chairman of JinkoSolar, Mr. Shen Zhenli, participated in Sino-UK Energy Dialogue during Chinese President Xi's state visit to the UK. In December, we were awarded Today's Transformative Step 2015 by the United Nations and China. In January, JinkoSolar was invited to Business 20 Summit in Beijing that promotes the energy reform as an agenda item for the G20 Summit held this year. We attended close to 100 industry conferences and exhibitions around the world in 30 countries during 2015. For example, during PV Japan in July 2015, we launched our Evo Black and the Evo Dual product. To tap the residential market in Japan, we also launched the 48-cell mono module. During September's SPI in US, we launched the Jinko MX Smart module. Through those events, JinkoSolar further strengthened its leading position in brand value and recognition. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Charlie, who will go over our financial results of the first quarter and the whole year 2015.
Thank you, Dylan. Our Q4 2015 and annual results set records for the company. Total solar module shipments in the fourth quarter 2015 were 1.7 gigawatts. Up 31% sequentially and up 39% year-over-year. Total revenue was $938 million, up 30% sequentially and up 104% year-over-year. Gross margin was 19.5% compared to 21.3% in the third quarter 2015. The sequential decrease was from lower gross margin of electricity revenues due to the seasonality and curtailment of projects in the west region of China. ASP was 56 cents per watt, the same as last quarter. We continued to cut our in-house manufacturing costs to 39 cents per watt from 41 cents in the third quarter. The blended cost, including the U.S. tariff cost, was 45 cents per watt, the same as the last quarter. Our operating expenses, excluding stock-based compensation, the change in provision for doubtful accounts, and the impairment of fixed assets, represented 9.7% of its total revenues, compared to 12.2% in the third quarter 2015. We recorded an exchange gain of $11 million, including change in fair value of forward contracts. Due to the anticipated depreciation of RMB, we've taken proactive hedging strategy to minimize the foreign exchange impact. I also want to emphasize here again that almost all our costs is in RMB, while our revenues are global. The depreciation of RMB, if continues, is positive from operational perspective. Now, with two outstanding convertible bonds by the end of December 2015. The first one is $100 million due in May 2016. And the second one is $150 million due in 2019, with put options in February 2017. During the fourth quarter, we repurchased $23 million of the first one. With the plan in place to redeem or pay back those convertible bonds, thanks to our healthy balance sheet, strong operating cash flows, and the financing capabilities. Net income was $54 million, This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.72 and $1.68, respectively. Non-GAAP net income was $78 million. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $2.48 and $2.44, respectively. Now, I'll briefly review our full year 2015 financial results. We concluded our 2013 with total solar module shipments of 4.5 gigawatts, meeting the high end of the company's guidance. Total revenues for 2015 were $2.5 billion, up 61% from $1.6 billion in 2014. Gross margin for 2015 was 20.3% compared to 22.4% for 2014. Operating expenses represented 12% of total revenues for 2015 compared to 13.1% for 2014. Net income for 2015 was $106 million compared to $109 million in 2014. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $3.40 and $3.32, respectively. Non-GAAP net income in 2015 was $177 million compared to $129 million in 2014. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $5.68 and $5.32, respectively. Now, I'd like to take a quick look at our balance sheet. As of December 31st, 2015, the company had $654 million in cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash. The total debts were $1.6 billion, of which $760 million were from Jinko Power. The company's working capital was negative $85 million, compared to a deficit of $160 million as of September 30, 2015. Without consolidation of Jinko Power, the working capital is positive $131 million. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Operator, we are ready to take questions.
Yes, thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star followed by the number 2. Your first question comes from the line of Philip Shen, Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my questions. And congrats on the nice results. It seems like your seasonality in Q1 is better than typical with the strength in the U.S. Can you talk about the visibility you have into Q2? You know, how much of your production have you sold or booked, and also the visibility into Q3?
Hey, Felix, this is Jenna. So mainly for the first half, our books are almost fully booked. We'd like to say around 80%, 90% are fully booked. And for the whole year, we can see the visibility of around 60% to 70%.
Great. And how do you expect your geographic mix to evolve in the year?
You mean for 2016 or 2015?
For 2016.
Okay. So for 2016, we are expecting that both North America and the China market will still be the top market for Jinko. The shipment numbers will take around like 20 to 25% for China, and 25% to 30% for North America. And the rest, Asia Pacific, Europe, and the emerging markets are taking around 10 to 15% each.
Hey, Philip, just like Jeter said, we believe 2016 is very strong. And the key drivers is the United States, China, and India, and other emerging markets. We believe it's more balanced in terms of allocation of first half year and the second half year.
Okay, great. And then in terms of margins, you know, you had this impact from the curtailment in Q4.
Yes.
What's the margin outlook for Q1, and how do you expect margins to evolve throughout 16 as well?
Looking to the outlook for the gross margin, we expect the Q1 gross margin will improve slightly. And for the module business, the gross margin is pretty stable. It's in the range of 18% to 20%. And for the downstream, Q4, the gross margin is very low. It's only 34%. And we expand in the prepared remarks. It's due to the seasonality and curtailment for the projects in the West regions. We experienced extreme weather conditions in the fourth quarter, including the strong rainfall and snowstorm. And we expect our electricity revenue will grow by 30% in the first quarter. And in terms of gross margin for the downstream, we estimate in the first quarter it's in a range of 40% to 45%. And we expect, you know, with the improvement of curtailment situations for the projects in the West region and the additional projects connected in the East and South China, we expect the gross margin for the power business in the second quarter will be in the range of 55% to 60%. So look at the 2016, you know, the trend of gross margin for module business for the first half year, we believe it's stable. But in the second half year, with more shipments to the U.S. market from our overseas, you know, capacities, we believe the module business gross margin may improve in the second half year.
Okay, great. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Junior. And I'll jump back in the queue.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Patrick Jobin, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking the questions here. Just a few from my side. I just want to follow up first on the gross margin expectations, thinking about Q1, Q2, given what we're seeing in wafer pricing kind of coming up and being short some wafer capacity from the JinkoSolar side. Did I hear correctly, you kind of think 18 to 20% gross margin for the module business in the near term? And then I have a few follow-ups. Thanks.
Okay. For the module business, you're right. I think we are seeing strong wafer and cell price, particularly in the fourth quarter. The wafer and cell price increased a little bit due to the tight capacities. And we expect the wafer and cell price is stable in the first half year and may go down slightly in the second half year with more capacity operation in the middle of 2016. So looking to the gross margin for the module business, just as I said, you know, we believe the gross margin in the first half year is in the range. It's quite stable, 18% to 20%. And for the second half year, because, you know, we have the capacity expansion plan. And for the fourth quarter, just to give you an example, we shipped around 450 megawatts to the U.S. market. Around only 20% is from our Malaysia factories. But we expect in the second half year with more capacities, we will ship over 60% from our overseas factories to the U.S. market. So that is why I'm saying I expect the gross margin will improve in the second half year for module business.
Yeah, just 1 point. This is Sebastian, Patrick. So if we ship into U.S. from our overseas factory, we can generate more than 13% gross margin. So that's why, like Charlie said, in the second half of the year, we think we can maintain or even slightly increase our gross margin for the model business.
Got it. So just two follow-ups, if I can. First, the U.S. order book, I think you mentioned 1.5 gigawatts after some pushouts had occurred. Can you quantify how much volume had pushed out from 2016 to 2017? And then related to that, I know previously you shared a view of some fixed pricing within that order book. Has that remained firm after the ITC extension? That's my first question. And the second question, just really simply on the capacity expansion targeted for 2016, how much of that would be overseas in Malaysia, or is that all within China? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. This is Jenna. Let me answer your question regarding the U.S. demand side. As I mentioned previously, our current book are about 1.5 gigawatts for U.S. market in 2016. And that is, we have seen around 200 to 300 megawatts has been pushed to from 2016 to 2017. And for the pricing side, we have seen that the U.S. market is stable compared with in Q1. But for the midterm, we have seen because of the oil price, because of natural gas pricing, we are expecting the price to come down a little bit.
Okay. For the capacity expansion, we expect to expand our wafer by 500 megawatts, cell by 1 gigawatt, and module by 2 gigawatts. The wafer capacity addition is in China, and the cell and module capacity is from both China and overseas factories. We plan to disclose the detailed capacity by location in the middle of 2016, and all the capacity expansion will be completed in the first half year.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Our next question comes from the line of Vishal Shah, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Vishal.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Two questions. First, can you talk about your expectations for wafer pricing in the back half of the year? Do you expect, or even for that matter, Q2, do you expect pricing to continue to go up given the strong demand ahead of the June expiration of the ITC, of the feed-in tariff? And also, can you talk about, you know, how you're sort of looking at your balance sheet, especially given the weakness in the RMB? Are you seeing any impact of your dollar debt? Thank you.
Regarding the wafer price, you know, after Chinese New Year, due to the low inventory level for wafer and cell, we are seeing a little bit the price increase for wafer and cell. But we expect the wafer and cell price will be stable in the rest of the in the first half year, and in the second half year with more capacity in the market, we expect the price will go down. And regarding the you know, anticipated you know, depreciation of RMB, we've taken very proactive hedging strategies. And if you look at our Q4 financial results, we recorded $11 million you know, gains through the exchange account. And you know, in general, we believe, you know, the depreciation RMB is positive because, just I said, you know, we have over 60% overseas sales and our cost is in RMB. So we don't expect any, you know, negative impact if the RMB continues the depreciation.
Michelle, this is Sebastian. I think as Charlie and also Mr. Chen just mentioned, we have increased our hedging ratio in the fourth quarter. Now we cover almost 100% of our overseas, or let's say U.S. dollar exposure, especially from that side.
Mm-hmm.
So from just, you know, depreciation from RMB almost have nothing, no impact to us.
Yes. In addition to the increased hedging activities, actually we are maintaining more cash positions in U.S. dollars. At the same time, we are accelerating the payment of U.S. loans. And some of the loans we plan to replace, to be replaced by the RMB loan.
That's helpful. And just one other question. You mentioned payment terms in China have improved. Can you also talk about, you know, what you're seeing on the feed and tariff front? When do you expect the next catalog, subsidy catalog, to be announced, and what sort of delays you're seeing on projects right now? Thank you.
We are seeing a very positive progress, and China increased the renewable surcharge fund by 30%, I think, in the last quarter. And the Ministry of Finance requested all the solar operators to submit applications by the end of last month, and for the projects, all the projects connected by the end of February 2015. We expect China will approve the next round subsidy catalog in the second quarter, and we will receive the cash payment in the second half year. Hello?
Thank you. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
Our next question comes from the line of Feng Zhong, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you much for taking my question, and congratulations on the very strong result. My first question is about the module business. So what's your production cost outlook for 2016? And can you, if there were some cost reduction, can you also give some more colors on where the reduction from?
The cost reduction target for 2016 is 5% to 8% by the end of 2016. And Q4, our in-house module cost was 39 cents, down 2 cents quarter over quarter. The reduction of the cost is coming from different factors, including the continued improvement of cell conversion efficiencies and production efficiencies through improving the automatic levels and new materials and new parts. We are also doing the R&D research, just like, you know, we plan to use the diamond wire technology to cut the Martin vapors. So we are very confident we can achieve our target in 2016.
To make it clear, it's 5 to 8% of a non-silicon cost.
Oh, okay. Thanks. And some question about the our downstream business. You mentioned that your target for 2016 will be 600 to 800 megawatt. So how much of the you expect to be connected in the first half, and how much in the second half?
By the end of last year, we have 1 gigawatt in operation and around 500 megawatts in constructions. And ahead of the feed-in tariff reductions by the end of June 2015, our target is to connect another 500 megawatts in the first half year. And I just want to explain more for our target for 2016. We don't want to overstrain our partner companies from the project business. So our project scale target, 600 megawatts to 800 megawatts, is very prudent. We target to reach cumulative 1.6 gigawatts to 1.8 gigawatts by the end of 2016, which is, you know, based on our current financing and the anticipated operating cash flow. The current financing is sufficient for cumulative 1.4 gigawatts. And we expect in the second half year, we will receive over $100 million from subsidy payment from the new subsidy catalog project. And we have also the bridge loan arrangement in place to help to support the constructions in 2016.
Understand. That is quite nice. So as mentioned that in the Western region there were some curtailment, so we see lots of activities from the government that trying to help the renewable energy, and some method may be the direct supply, but looks like that the price will be, I mean the tariff will be impacted. So what's your company's view on the coming some government policy, especially the especially like the direct power supply, that will impact your IRR or your electricity price in the future?
Yeah, this is Jenna. So regarding this direct supply agreement, we have seen the current news released recently. From our point of view, the feed-in tariff is a kind of a fixed price for the next 20 years, and the commitment is from the central government and the NDRC, which we do not expect to change the electricity price, though the direct supply electricity price are really competitive. And from our point of view, in the long term, we are expecting the solar electricity coming from solar projects are becoming lower and lower compared with what we have now and previously. But in the short term, we are believing that the government will stick to its commitment and trying to find out all the solutions. One way is to solve the curtailment. You have seen the direct supply agreement, the high voltage transmission line, etc. And another side, we have seen the China government has the ambitions to solve the catalog issues and the payment for the feed-in tariff by increasing the surcharge, etc. So from our point of view, we do not see any strictness to the electricity price we have right now. But in the future, we are expecting the electricity price or feed-in tariff in China or even all over the world will become lower and more competitive.
Mm-hmm. And the exposure to curtailment for Jinko is going to become smaller and smaller. We shift our focus to East and South China in 2015. All the project development in 2016 will be in the East and South China. And in terms of the percentage for the projects in the West region, as of the total capacity, we expect it will drop from 30% by the end of last year to 20% in the middle of this year.
And my last question is, you mentioned that you are accelerating the spin-off process of the downstream business. So maybe can you give some update on this?
Okay. The capital market is so volatile, but we are taking steps to accelerate the spin-off process. Our target is to complete the spin-off process as quickly as possible in 2016 to maximize the shareholder values. The detailed plan is being evaluated for certain times, and we are confident the plan is doable, and we plan to communicate with investors in detail when the process reaches a significant milestone in the near future.
Our target is to finish this year, so it's one of the management's priorities.
Understand. Thank you much, and congrats again on the result.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Frank He, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So just a follow-up question on the curtailment situation right now in China. So we understand that Xinjiang has already been curtailing 100% during the winter heating period. And so just wonder if there's any recent pickup in the power supply to the state grid since March or April, or you have received any notice officially from the state municipal government regarding the power supply to the grid recently?
We didn't receive any official communications from the local grid, but the situation in Xinjiang projects is improving. And so far, in the first quarter, the projects in Xinjiang province for Jinko can generate 30% to 40% of capacity. We expect after winter season, the curtailment situation will continue to improve. Just like you said, the purpose is to stabilize the heating system in the winter season.
Okay. And also regarding the subsidy catalog, so you mentioned the project that by end of February last year could be able to receive the subsidy in Q2. So how much capacity Jinko has submitted to MOF so far for this batch of catalog?
It's around 400 megawatts. So after approval, we will reach cumulative 500 megawatts in a subsidy catalog. We have 100 megawatts. So plus 400 megawatts, we will have 500 megawatts in subsidy catalog.
So after catalog,
yeah.
Okay, got it. And also, last question is about the investor communities in the solar in China right now, given we face the curtailment and also the receivables delay payment. Are you seeing any changes in the investor profiles in China's solar investment side? I mean, the downstream solar operation.
Okay. I don't see any significant change. And China is expected to continue to ease the monetary policies. And last week, the G20 is calling for the green financing, which is supported by Chinese government. And thanks to the stable cash flow and the low risk of solar projects, we continue to see, you know, the policy bank, commercial banks, and finance leasing companies are very active in providing the loans for the solar projects.
This is Jenner. One more point here is for the Chinese, especially for the Chinese solar assets, the end investors are always the giant group or giant investors, because the power business is always dominated by the sizable company instead of short-term investors. So from our point of view, the investor portfolio are kind of stable.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Our next question comes from the line of Pierre Macagno, Northland. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hey, congratulations on the quarter. Most of my questions answered here. Any comments on the polysilicon pricing? Do you expect to pick up during the year?
The polysilicon price dropped to $13 to $14 in fourth quarter. So after the Chinese New Year, the price increased a little bit by 3% due to the low inventory levels in China. We don't expect upward pressure for the polysilicon price due to the oversupply situations and continued cost reduction for the tier one polysilicon suppliers. We expect the polysilicon price will be stable in the first half year and may go down slightly in the second half year.
Okay. And can you go a little bit over again on the gross margin decrease? I didn't quite understand. You talk about some seasonality in the quarter regarding the electricity revenues.
Looking to the gross margin, we expect Q1 blended gross margin will improve. And for if you break down to the two business, module and the downstream, module business is pretty stable, and with the improvement of curtailment situations, we expect the gross margin for downstream will increase in the first quarter.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Stone, Platform. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I just wanted to come back again on the question of the spin-off that you mentioned in the press release to maximize shareholder value. You said it was a management priority for 2016. Can you tell us what decisions have clearly been made there? Is it going to be a listed entity, and if so, is that listed in Hong Kong, or could it be a sale?
We're not in a position to discuss the plan in details, but the Chinese capital market is the first option, and we have the plan in place
with the assistance of our consultants, and which we believe is doable. And I think we will, you know, complete the process as soon as possible in 2016.
Okay, thank you.
There are
Hello,
no
operator.
Hello, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back to Sebastian. Sebastian, please continue.
Thank you, everyone. On behalf of the entire JinkoSolar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day or good evening. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.